Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is episode number 196. So today I am talking to Jaz Anand of Asiatel Outsourcing. So Jaz is the Vice President and Director of Asiatel Outsourcing. We actually had his MD and CEO, who is Sheffy, in episode number 191. In that episode, we actually spoke about the origin story of Asiatel Outsourcing. It is a fascinating story, starting in 1997 as a telecoms company in Hong Kong. So it's interesting to see how a lot of these outsourcing service providers originally evolve from being their own captive or shared services solution. So an interesting story. With Jaz, we talk more about outsourcing models, the services they offer, and the differences between the two, and how clients can benefit from these. So this isn't a infomercial, this isn't selling the services, this is giving insight for you out there, for the business owners, how outsourcing, or how you can best leverage outsourcing for your own gain, for your own benefit. So it's an interesting episode, and I learned a lot. So if you want any of the show notes, if you want to get in touch with Jaz or Asiatel Outsourcing, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/196. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, I'm joined by Jaz Anand. Hi, Jaz. How are you?
I'm doing good, Derek. How are you?
Fantastic. And so you are the, I'll allow you to introduce yourself, but you're the Vice President and Director of Asia Teleservices. And we actually had the Group MD, CEO, and Founder, Sheffy Abu Baker, on previously to talk about Asiatel Outsourcing and the parent company. But today I've got you on the phone call, and I want to deep dive with you a little bit more specifically about Asiatel Outsourcing, how it differentiates itself from the other outsourcing service suppliers and the different service models, and a little bit about your background. So thank you so much for joining us. I suppose initially, do you want to introduce yourself maybe a little bit better than I have?
Okay, thank you, Derek. So my name is Jaz Anand. I'm mostly known as Andy. That's my nickname, so that works well here in the Philippines. Okay, I have been working in Asiatel for the last 5 years, and primarily one of my mandates was to grow the outsourcing business. And we have been able to do that in the last 3.5 years in particular. Before this, I was actually in banking in India. And it's been a very interesting ride with Asiatel Outsourcing. Mm. Now, your other question was, how do we differentiate ourselves from the competition?
Yeah, I suppose just to take it back a little bit, a little bit about you. You're now based in the Philippines, is that correct?
That's right. I live in Manila for the last 5 years.
Right.
And our office is
effectively came over here for the Asiatel position to manage the outsourcing, yeah?
That's correct. So, the group wanted to expand the out, because, as Sheffy mentioned in his interview, that we have been here for 12 years. Mm. But initially, we were actually a captive center.
Right.
And then, because we saw that there is a talent here, we already have a base. Now we want to take this talent and this base to the third-party clients, and that's where the ambition of outsourcing came in, and that's where I came in here to manage this business.
Fantastic. And what was your experience as you moved to the Philippines 5 years ago? Because there is quite a lot of competition between India and Philippines. They are the two outsourcing kings, I suppose, if you will. Certainly Philippines has different skill sets, pros and cons to India. But your first impressions of the Philippines and the skill sets available here?
I think my first impression is, I think, which is now probably quite a settled matter in my own understanding, and as I speak to my other colleagues, that Philippines has established itself as a leader for the voice segment.
Mm.
So whichever involves voice, it's kind of moved here. While India, on the other side, has better software development skills. So the KPO applications and software management, a lot of that work has, grown in India. Having said that, both countries do the other side also. There is a lot of NOC and development here, and the voice still happens to be done from India. But somehow, what I see here is that voice has been now Philippines' core forte.
Yeah, it seems that, doesn't it? I think anything to do with voice, customer services, more of the sort of relationship kind of activities, but also possibly kind of more creative, so a design, graphics editing, things like that. They
Agree,
seem,
agree, agree. I think two more things which stand out here is I think courtesy, or what you call the customer service, the essence of customer service, I think is very natural to Filipino culture. So like you, even if you go out to a restaurant or to a mall, what you get as a customer service comes naturally. So that part I think is very strong here. Other than voice, there is a natural tendency of customer service and designing, as you rightly said. I think I would broad base it. I think overall arts and cultures, that whole scene is very, very, very vibrant here. So designing is one element that can be used for outsourcing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then so it's Asiatel outsourcing that, as you mentioned, was a captive, effectively servicing your own telecom parent company needs, but then you thought you could basically package those and sell them and sell alongside that your own expertise and commercial insights into
Right.
outsourcing. So where have you found your niche in terms of that regards? I see on your website that you kind of highlight two different service provisions that maybe we could talk about. One of them being effectively a seat leasing proposition, and then as you put it, it's the total outsourcing. Now, the total outsourcing, as I see it, is basically the old school outsourcing, how it all used to be, and it was kind of deliverable based as opposed to buying man hours. But it seemed and I think they're the good old days, really, where it becomes more of a true partnership. But could you maybe
Yes.
speak on that, the differences between the two service offerings and the pros
Now,
and cons?
there are three service offerings, actually.
Okay.
But before I come to service offerings, let me first give you a little insight into how do we differentiate ourselves.
Yeah.
See, our proposition, we are not into product selling. So when we say we're not into product selling, is that when we approach a customer, we don't talk call center, we don't talk telesales, we don't talk customer service. That's not the language we use. We avoid products. We sell solutions to them. So when we meet the customers, whether it's on phone, emails, or on personal visits, our core proposition to them is that we will help you set up your offshore team in the Philippines. So that's how we present the proposition to us, that if you're a company in Singapore, Hong Kong, US, Canada, who's looking to, retain efficiency, save costs, bring diversity, then we can be your offshore partners in the Philippines. So this is the core proposition. Now, from this proposition arises the need for three different products, which is like a waterfall. So we have customers, who are big in size, and they want to, let's say, give the classical total outsourcing A to Z, that they have given us the mandate and we execute it. So for those kind of customers, as a waterfall, what comes out is total outsourcing. Then there are some customers who are from the new generation industry, like we have some companies with mobile apps. We just signed up a big customer from Japan for fintech. Now, some of these customers, because they are from new industry, their need to be involved in operations is pretty high. So another kind of a product comes out, that is managed operations. So what we do in managed operation is we provide them the entire periphery, which is, getting them the agents or the manpower, recruiting, the payrolls, doing all the statutory responsibility, the office, workstations, internet, IT support, everything we provide them.
And also finding and recruiting the members for that
Of
team,
course, of
yeah.
course, of course, HR and recruitment is, integral part of it. And obviously, we provide management oversight. But when it comes to delivery of operations, that's kind of jointly handled. Like, client is involved in it. That's why it's called as managed operations, or co-sourcing, as some people call it. So that's the second product which comes out. And then there is a third product, you know, which could be companies which are smaller companies that, you know, they want to run it themselves, and, you know, they probably don't want to spend so much. So they use seat leasing or co-working spaces as the third option. So what we've done is, you know, we've identified the three different needs, and we let the customer decide based on what he needs. So we've put all the three offerings out there in the menu.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it's sort of stripping down the services, isn't it? The value add component. In terms of the total outsourcing, how broad can someone's requirements be? For example, if I say, look, Andy, I want you to generate $1 million sales for me. I want, in order to get that, I want 100 sales a month, month on month. Go do it. Can it really be that broad, or do you need, you know, there is, because it's difficult to know where the partition line sits, yeah?
See, what we have seen in our past experiences, that definitely there are KPIs, right? And so when we start a project, whether on managed operations or on outsourcing basis, there is a KPI there, because at that KPI level, it makes sense for the customer to outsource. So, and no project really starts with a very ambitious goal like $1 million sales. It happens over a period of time. So we set up normally a pilot period of 6 months. In that pilot period, you know, we don't go full scale. Depending on the size of the company, pilot could be 5 seats, or pilot could be 15 seats or 20 seats, depending on what size of the company it is. So once the pilot phase is over, I think that is a time when we have a firm KPI that, okay, hey, this is what seems to be the zone to play with. So we have customers here, you know, who are very niche customers, you know, into very specific kind of sales, you know, and they do 150,000 or 100,000 US dollar sales a month. So over a period of time, we're generating about $1.5 million for them, you know, throughout the year. So something that is possible to achieve. And we have done it with one customer beautifully. And they're absolutely in that niche that, you know, is a very, very niche industry.
And it really becomes a true business partnership then, doesn't it? You're really kind of sitting at a senior management level with this business, because your business is difficult, isn't it? You know, like, business is fundamentally a kind of a riddle or a puzzle. And together, you're then figuring that out. But the business, the client, is basically buying into your vast experience of doing this, the sophistication of Philippine processes. Like, they're getting all of this as a part of the partnership, aren't they?
I completely agree. You know, I think the customers that grow with you are the ones that treat your office and our office as their office. So it actually becomes like, you know, you know, a JV without a JV, you know, if I can use that word. You know, it's the two different entities, you know, legally they're two different entities, but, you know, the working close, it becomes so close that it kind of becomes like a partnership model. And those are the businesses which actually grow with us, and those are the businesses we add significant value to.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do sort of long for the old days, I think, when the total outsourcing really was the primary model. And I kind of fear that when everything gets stripped out of a model, as it seems that the market is demanding now, then actually you're going to get less satisfaction, you're going to get less results, and people are then unhappy, and then they kind of might say that outsourcing is a failure, but it's actually because they're not really buying into the true outsourcing service provision and the expertise that full service outsourcing can provide.
I think, Derek, you're right in some ways. There are two things what I have observed is, one is the preparation on part of the customer is very important. That sometimes, you know, it's not a magic wand that, you know, it will surely work. So there is a certain effort required on part of the customer to outsource. What we try to do is, we don't start a project unless we think, as a combination of an outsourcing and a client, we're ready with the right kind of information. But as you brought a point that is right, that, you know, as the move is moving away from total outsourcing to managed operations, as outsourcers, obviously, yes, that, you know, that, you know, the control over the process reduces a little. It does reduce a little. So to some extent, yes, it's true. But interestingly, what we have observed is that the business models are changing. See, what's happening is, we're doing something very unique here. and that is we're trying to create composite teams of our customers within our center. So which means a customer may not just have a telecalling team with us. He can have a telecalling team with us, plus he may have one designer.
Absolutely.
And then he can add in two POC resources. So what happens is, with that kind of a model, it becomes a true back office. So it is not only customer service, it's customer service plus NOC plus designing.
Yeah, and I think that's where a business is truly optimized, isn't it? They might start with one function, but then, you know, there's no reason why outsourcing can't extend to all of the operations, you know, whether it be kind of back end or even front end, or there's a lot of potential for it, yeah.
True. And that's how, you know, it becomes a true offshore office for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a functional or a domain outsourcing. It then truly becomes a offshoring office. And that's been our sweet spot, you know, that to create composite teams and make the customer very comfortable. So he treats us like an offshore office and not just an outsourcer. So and that's been our...
Yeah, typically then with the total outsourcing, which is effectively you're promising deliverables instead of like, you know, hours spent. You're effectively, you know, promising an output. Do you then have a dedicated team for that company? Or, you know, you might have, for example, outbound telesales experts, and effectively they're managing a number of different clients because that's what they're skilled at, and then you just ensure that you're getting the deliverables for the client. How does that work in terms of carving out resources?
No, in our case, what we do is most of the resources are client-centric in the sense that when we set up a team for the client, there will be a dedicated account managers who take care of their account. So we're not into that, you know, that have an outsourcing team which is only telecalling and use the same team for other clients. No, as I mentioned to you, our model is very composite model. So it's very directed at the customer. Each team would... we'll be catering to a specific customer.
Absolutely.
And at the management level, yes, at an account management level, obviously, they're a separate team.
Yeah.
Right. And if a client comes to you then, let's say an SME from the US with maybe 5 million revenue, they're looking for customer service support, a bit of operation support, how do you suggest they get started? Do you say all in? Do you say start with one and see how you go? Or, you know, what is your general approach or advice, I suppose, for getting people started and getting them on that first step of outsourcing?
Yes, our general approach is to start small.
Okay, that was Jaz Anand of Asiatel Outsourcing. If you want to get in touch with Jaz or Asiatel Outsourcing, go to our show notes. That is at outsourceaccelerator.com/196. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.